Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the lifestyle coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Hi, guys. We are here with another incredible freedom story of, with the hundreds and hundreds of people all over the world that are now free and on the other side of the struggle with food. It is amazing to celebrate their individual stories because we love them and they're awesome. And it's also just such an inspiration for, you know, you guys to be able to see, like, it's so, so possible. I mean, we've had people that, you know, have had eating disorders for 6 months or 55 years. We, you know, we're talking about orthorexia and anorexia and bulimia and binge eating and all of the overeating and the food obsession and the body hate and the things that keep us small. And the thing that I'm super excited about today is that with this incredible woman that you're going to get to hear her story, is she is someone from the very beginning, just someone of such wisdom and power and, you know, one of these people that the world really needs. And so for her to be able to step into who she really is and into that power is just an amazing thing for the world. And I am so excited for you guys to get to know Rachel. So Rachel, hello and welcome to the show. So fun to see you.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm so excited you're here and for everyone to get to know your story. There's so, so much to celebrate. So let's start out with like your origin story. So Rachel, when you think back and you know, think of when this struggle with food first happened for you, how did you see it popping up at first? How did it feel? Tell us a little bit about how it began.
Well, it all began for me in childhood. So I grew up on my mom's side of the family. She's Asian. So I grew up in an Asian household and we were always encouraged to eat as little kids. But also my grandparents would say, "Ay, knuckle, you're getting too chunky," if we were eating too much. And so there's just constant push and pull of should I eat, should I not eat? And then I think around third grade is when I started to realize that people can be judged by the way they look. And I remember this moment so clearly. I was going to sit down for lunch with my girlfriends and this group of boys said we couldn't sit there because I was fat or we were fat. And I had knew what the word meant at the time, but I had never heard fat used in a word associated with rejection. And so I became obsessed with what that meant and I became obsessed with my image. And this was in third grade. And in fifth grade, I went on my first diet. I bought this diet book and became obsessed with portion control and calorie counting. And at the time I was also going through puberty. And in one sense, I was having boys my own age tease me for my body, and then older men saying comments about my body that I'd never heard before. And so I just kept internalizing all this chatter from men, and it just made me feel obsessed about body image and so self-conscious. And so throughout seventh and eighth grade, I joined Weight Watchers and started purging a bit and making myself throw up and just continuing to struggle. And then finally in high school, I found sports and that really saved me because it taught me to have confidence in my body. And for once was something very positive and helped me reclaim, you know, the gratitude I had for what my body could do. But then things started to become really competitive and I started to see my body as this obstacle for why I couldn't be better in sports and why I couldn't be better in life. You know, I had coaches that said you would be faster at swimming if you lost weight. And I just became obsessed again with my body. And then in college, I thought this was a fresh opportunity to start new. I wasn't playing competitive sports anymore. And at the time I was in a long distance relationship, and I believed at the time this lie that my boyfriend would break up with me if I didn't lose weight. And I remember this moment so clearly. I was watching the Victoria's Secret fashion show, and I'm like, this is it. This is the grandiose moment where I finally lose the weight. I've been the chubby girl all my life. I've been binging all my life. This is the time where I do this drastic change. And it just started months of restriction. And during this weight loss, I thought, oh, this is cool. I'm finally losing weight. And I felt like it was something awesome in my life. And I had this new confidence. But now looking back, what I realized what I was doing was I was anorexic, and I thought it was normal. And I look back and I was eating less than 1500 calories a day, counting every single calorie. And it would be such a huge accomplishment for me if I ate less than 1300 calories. Like, I would be so overjoyed. And I just was skipping dinner, and I lost a bunch of weight in 6 months. And that's when the journey started becoming an obsession and started taking a darker turn.
And Mitchell, I just want to say thank you so much. Like, you know, with celebrating your story, this is so beautifully put. And I wanted to pop in and, you know, highlight a couple of really beautiful insights that you've made here of you were anorexic and you felt like it was normal. Like, I want to highlight that we live in a society where eating disorder behaviors for women, especially to starve themselves, is seen as normal and is seen as praised. And it can happen a lot earlier on if we have mothers who are restricting. So some people have these ideas of self-image and worth based on their weight, you know, from, I mean, toddler age, if they see their mothers do it. But with society and the society that we live in, I mean, 7-8 is a very normal time for us, especially as women in this society, to start being told that you are rejected if you are not thin. You are not enough if you are not at this certain size. Your worthiness is based off of how much you can restrict your food, your self-control, your character is all reflected in how much can you restrict. And what is really detrimental about this is a lot of times we have these ideas in our head about 5 years before puberty. So we have all this concept of it's not, my body is not okay. And then we hit a point in our lives where our bodies change in really big ways and rapidly. And so I think you just really beautifully illustrate with your story what happens so often, Rachel, in this pattern is that we are set up to have an eating disorder, to be praised for having an eating disorder if it's making us thin, and to be shamed for having an eating disorder if it's not, or just anything that is anything for thinness and anything to not be fat. And so I thank you so much for sharing that, because it's such an important story and your voice is so important in this. So tell us a little bit more about, you said you got into your college years, you know, you sort of had this, okay, this is going to be my time. I'm going to be thin. I'm going to track every calorie. And what started happening from there?
I started becoming obsessed, and it's crazy because I look back on some of the habits I had at this time, and I can't believe that's how I spent my valuable time. Is I would wake up in the morning and look at images of fitness models and follow fitness influencers, and I thought that in order to lose the weight, I had to be obsessed. Like, that was the only way. And I just started becoming so obsessed and really anxious if I wasn't losing a little bit of weight every day. And I started having anxiety and panic attacks. And I started making decisions that weren't respectful towards my body and surrounding myself with people that didn't make me feel good about myself. And that's when I decided, okay, I need to stop this restriction. And I started to let myself eat. But then I don't think I was handling it the right way, because I just kept binging and gaining the weight quickly, and I felt out of control. And, you know, for the rest of college, I think I just had a lot going on. I started to focus on my studies and building healthy relationships with my girlfriends and just getting more involved in school. And I think those natural things in life, took me away from the disorder at the time, and I felt things were getting better. but I never really solved the disorder that had been following me throughout my entire life. I still felt that my disorder was getting in the way of me claiming my identity and being the person that I wanted to be. And it's crazy because I look back on all the things that I've accomplished throughout college and my career, and I've never stopped to celebrate because I've always been, I just feel like I had been an imposter at the time because I'd always been focused on the failure of not losing weight.
That right there is so important because there is so much that you have done in life, Rachel, and there is so much that, I mean, if you guys are watching this right now, so much that you've accomplished, but there is this very common sadness in life of no matter what else we've done, it's like it doesn't count because mm-hmm. we still haven't fixed this thing with food, or we still don't have the body that we feel is worthy, or whatever else we do, well, we feel like a fraud because we're so out of control in this space. And I think you make such a great point of, you know, never being able to celebrate those things because there's this looming dark cloud over everything else. And yeah, I mean, Rachel, for you, what were some of the really darkest times for you? Like, what were some of the hardest parts of being in this struggle?
I just remember this panic attack I had, just feeling so out of control about my body and that no one would ever truly love me because I didn't love myself. And I just remember, I mean, I know it sounds really traumatic, but I remember just like sitting on the ground in the shower and crying and just, I mean, I was raised in a religious household, but just praying to someone or something out there that I could get through this. And I look back at the time and realize I was praying to myself. Like, I was talking to myself and I was telling myself that, Rachel, you can get through this. And that moment in college is when things started to get better. And when I started to just focus on developing other aspects of my life that were truly valuable and serving. But things started to come back again when I graduated from college. I thought things were getting better. But when I graduated, I started working and making money. And all of a sudden, I wanted to invest that money in losing weight again. And I think in college, I used being a broke college student as a justification for not eating because sometimes I just didn't have money to buy food. And I'm like, that's fine. It's cool. I'm losing weight and not spending money. Like, this is cool. I get to lose weight and be cheap at the same time. And then like now being in the professional world and having resources to spend, I started dropping tons of money on juice cleanses and working out with a personal trainer and signing up for all these expensive programs and classes. And it just took up so much of my time. And in my career, I felt like a lack of self-confidence. And I kept telling myself these things that weren't true, that, oh, you would have better relationships with your client if you were skinny. You would have so much more confidence if you were skinny. You would have so much more time and energy to focus on your career if you just lost the weight and didn't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah. And just one difficult part of this journey is how it keeps on coming back. You know, it's like we hit these really low points and then we have a fervor about, okay, well, this has got to change and we've got to do something new or something happens in life. And then it just, that thing has always come with us, right? And continues to haunt us. And yeah, it's just like, this is really, I mean, the $66 billion diet industry, this is really what it thrives on, is, you know, incredibly powerful professional women that are just spending and spending and spending in this cycle of like, okay, I need this cleanse and I need this gadget and I need this food plan and I need this supplement and I need these clothes. And it's a built-in forever return customer because everything that we try to lose the weight and finally lose the weight and keep it off, and this will be the thing, actually makes the problem worse. And so then we have to come back and we have to try something else. And I just love how you were wise to that, of really seeing what was happening, Rachel. And so tell us a little bit about what happened from there and what is it that really was that point for you where you decided to make a change, like with fixing this all the way, with like, you know, you drew that line in the sand, you're like, okay, like this has to change now.
Yeah. And so at first I thought, well, maybe it isn't the eating disorder. Maybe I need to make big changes in my life. So I switched jobs. I traveled the world for a bit, and I did all these cool things. And again, it was my eating disorder that was distracting me from really enjoying those amazing life changes, getting a new job and exploring the world. And I felt that I just reached this point where my disorder was inhibiting me from being the person that I wanted to be. And it was always showing up in ways that I didn't want to. And I just think about how I would drop hundreds of dollars on a juice cleanse. And I was putting so much pressure on myself because I thought, well, I spent all this money on this juice cleanse and I'm going to lose all this money if I don't lose all this weight. And then I was starving because I was drinking only juice. And then I would just binge anyways. And then I was stressed at work on top of it. So it was just this unhealthy cycle that I felt trapped in. And I was just so exhausted that this is the way I was defining my life, is through my disorder. And so I had, at some point in my career after college, I had stumbled upon the book Brain Over Binge, and I'd listened to part of the audiobook and stopped listening to it when I thought I was fixed. And then what led me to you is I just had this aha moment. I'm like, okay, I really want to fix this. Dieting and weight loss and restricting and these fitness programs, it hasn't been the answer. It hasn't worked for me. And I really want to make a change with what's going on internally. And so I'd done some research on the book and came across your website and just knew that this is the step I want to take.
Yeah. And just so, so excited for seeing all of your like transformation. And Rachel, like, you have shown up and done the work. Like, these principles absolutely work to fix so you don't have an eating disorder anymore. Like, we're fixing it. We're not just like putting a Band-Aid on it. This is not just like a cleanse or whatever. But I just love how, you know, with these principles, they only work if you work them. And you have shown up so coachable and you have shown up just ready to like dive in. And let's talk about freedom. So Rachel, yeah. Okay. So tell us a little bit about like, describe how things are different now on the other side. Like, give us some contrast of like, from like crying in the shower and like having nowhere to go and no way to fix this. Like, how is your life different on the side of freedom?
I just feel this inner sense of peace, and that it's crazy when I look back at the past me, because my disorder was a result of me needing control and needing to control calories and calories in, calories out. And that made me feel out of control because I was just caught in the cycle of restricting and binging. And now it's not even about control. It's about allowing and being curious and not trying to control the future, but to embrace the present moment. And that's why these principles are so meaningful to me, because it comes back to being mindful and focusing on gratitude.
Yeah, and absolutely love that. And tell us a little bit about like day-to-day, Rachel, like, what can you do now that you couldn't do before? Like, what are you celebrating of like, oh, this is so awesome that I have the freedom to do this now or live this way? Or like, how is your relationship with food different? How does this sort of impact you in the day-to-day world?
I feel that I just live a more relaxed life, that binging and restricting made me feel anxious all the time, and that I just had stress coursing through my veins. I'd wake up thinking, okay, you got to start today fresh. You got to do this crazy workout and you got to eat super clean. And that eating was very black and white for me. I either ate perfectly, or if I ate one, you know, what I labeled as bad food, if I ate one bad food, my day was ruined. And life isn't black or white for me anymore. Life is awesome. Life is imperfect, but it's beautiful that way. And it allows me to be vulnerable and to just experience what's happening around me, and to just see and just to be able to observe my emotions and accept them.
Yeah. Such a big deal. Yes. Because one fun thing about this journey is like you, yes, like we end the binging and the purging and the restricting. Like, yeah, you have your eating disorder where it's like, that's not ruling you anymore. And that's one piece of freedom. But like you said, like that true freedom, Rachel, is the being able to be present and enjoy your life and to take credit for your wins and to be able to celebrate the cool things you get to do because you don't have this thing always hanging over you. And it's just such a wonderful thing. Like, what else are you celebrating about freedom? What else are you loving?
So I'm celebrating all the breakthroughs that I've had all along the way. And so knowing that I can always lean on the principle. So calling out the chatter when I feel like I've hit a bump in the road, and that this journey doesn't have to be perfect, that every time I practice the principles, that right there is success, is just practicing and is just practicing, and that every time that I call out the chatter, I'm chiseling away and getting to that inner peace and realizing my identity. And then also having a breakthrough about body shame. You know, I've just realized that the body shame chatter isn't even me. It's just all the stuff other people have said that the chatter is reinforced. So that was a huge breakthrough.
Yes. Yes. And I love like the way you've shared your breakthroughs all throughout. Like everyone's like, oh, Rachel's talking. Like everyone hear this. Like this is going to be another amazing breakthrough. I just love, love, love it.
And I haven't weighed myself since being in this program and being this community. And that is a huge celebration for me because my success in life has been defined by the number on the scale. And that's not even valuable to me anymore. And that's so freeing because now I can focus on things that actually do serve me.
Yeah. And you have so much in life that serves you so beautifully. I mean, you've done so much in life, Rachel, and there's so much for you to get to enjoy from here on out. And we're just all so thrilled for you that you get to do that in a mind and body with peace and with confidence and with joy and just really, really wonderful. I mean, anything else on the side of freedom that you want to celebrate or anything else that's just on your mind to speak into your story?
Yeah, for me, I think weight loss and restricting and fitness, I was obsessed with this whole concept of continuous self-improvement. And I was tying the self-improvement to all these goals related to weight loss. And I look at that now and I'm like, that's not a fulfilling life for me. And I'm not going to look back years down the line and say, my biggest accomplishment in life was losing weight and being skinny. Like, I don't want that to be my shining moment. And I don't want to have to worry about that when, you know, I have daughters of my own or when I'm a grandma. Like, I'm not going to be telling my future grandchildren, you know, back in the day, your grandma lost all this weight and that's what makes her awesome. Like, that just feels so empty and meaningless to me. And so freedom to me is reclaiming my identity and not feeling like my disorder defines me.
That is so powerful, Rachel. And that is exactly why we do what we do. I love and celebrate you and your story. And I mean, what this comes down to is that there are people all around the world that are caught in this cycle of their biggest goal in life is to lose the weight. Their value is based off of, okay, if I can finally just get to that weight or that level of fitness and there's so much more. There's so much more, but it's so hard to see that when you're in this constant struggle and this round and round, and I'm not there yet. And for people and, you know, women all over the world to be stepping out into bigger goals in life, to change the world, to help the people around them, to better themselves in ways that are meaningful, to be a legend to their daughters and granddaughters with things that are truly, truly important. Like, the ability to do that, the choice to do that, is what this is all about. And that's truly how we change the world, is powerful women being able to step into their power because they're not defined or ruled by their disorder any longer. And I'm just so thrilled for you that you get to join the ranks of these powerful women all around the world, Rachel, that can now do what is meaningful to you, which is beautiful and wonderful stuff that doesn't have to be defined by that number on the scale and this struggle every day. And yeah, just so cool. And we are majorly celebrating you and just love you so much. And anything else that's on your mind to share today, or do you feel like our conversation is complete?
I think more tangible things also that I'm celebrating is just, I've seen this affect other areas of my life. You know, my loved ones have commented that I seem more happy and relaxed, and I feel more energized at work because I'm not expending all this energy thinking about dieting and weight loss. And I just feel more empowered in work and other aspects of my life. I've been able to reframe my thinking about fitness, and now it's no longer a punishment to my body. It's something that feels good and that's fun. And I get to enjoy food. You know, food's not the enemy, and that's awesome. And life is just too short to be obsessed with this disorder and to let this disorder define me. And I am celebrating and so excited that I get to now live the rest of my life being free.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And celebrating you and the amazing life that you get to live now, Rachel. And thank you. Like, I, you know, none of us are an island, and it is perfectly and 100% okay and valuable to be free just for you, just so you can enjoy your life and be at peace. But it also is a cool extension that this impacts everyone around us. Like, the people that love us get to see who we truly are. Like, the people that look up to us as an example get to see an authentic example of like who we are and what we love and what we can do. And it's just a really wonderful thing. And celebrating you and everything that you get to do now that you're not defined by your eating disorder anymore, Rachel, and just adore you so much. So yay, way to go. You are so amazing and so coachable, and we just adore you. And I'm really excited to see where you go from here, Rachel, and as you continue to blossom. And thank you so much for sharing your story today. You are an absolute inspiration, and I'm so glad that you drew that line in the sand and really decided on fixing this problem all the way, because you didn't have to, right? It's like, nobody has to. Nobody has to fix this problem. You can live with this for the rest of your life. You can keep on being defined by that. And some people will choose that, and there's no judgment. Like, we all have our own lives, but just so proud of you for really choosing that higher path and choosing the real you, so that the world gets to enjoy you and you get to enjoy you, Rachel.
Thank you so much. And I want to express my gratitude to you and the other coaches and to be a part of this community. And I just heard this Brené Brown quote this morning that, I think you had said it, that, or I heard it somewhere, but that you can't live the life that you want without being authentic. And so I am so grateful to have met you, because I feel I've been able to be authentic every step of the way and to be a part of a community of amazing women who are supportive and are authentic as well has been so empowering. And it's been truly life-changing to be a part of this group.
Yeah. And thank you for being such an amazing part of that, Rachel, and excited to just keep on partying with you. So this is awesome. All right, you guys, this has been just so fun. I'm so glad that we've gotten to celebrate your story with you, Rachel. And this is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, and Rachel signing off. Free women. Mwah. Bye, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session. where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on three things. One, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. Two, what isn't working with your approach. And three, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!